Amen. Thank you, Father, for this great and wonderful time that we're in. And I thank you, Father, for helping us to overcome distractions and the things that you have warned us about over the last little bit. And we praise you and thank you, Father, that we are overcomers because we have Christ in us, the hope of glory, helping us out and making us overcomers against the world, the flesh, and the enemy. In Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, for an awesome time tonight. Awesome time tonight with everybody here, the Outreach Fellowship. And also, we thank you for the birthday boy, Elisha. And we thank you, Father, that he has been blessed today, big time. And we thank you, Father, he is growing up too fast for us. He's got to have to shut down for a little while and stay a little boy for a longer, long time. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. All right. Has anybody got a prayer request? Let me see if I can. Yeah. Okay. Has anybody got a prayer request? Debbie make it on? She hadn't made it on yet, has she? All right. Everybody's good to go, huh? Hey, Missy. Benita and Barbara. Joe. Joe Cephas. And, of course, Andrew and Ben. All right. There is, we had a word from the Lord that was posted on today's local fellowship that I want to relate to you all, but I was kind of waiting on Debbie to get in here in case she wanted to give us a preamble to it. Let me see if she's coming. Yeah, go ahead, Anna.
Can Lisha give a testimony while we wait for Debbie? Okay, sorry, go ahead. Okay, Lisha, go ahead and give your testimony.
So there was a pencil when Mom was cleaning out the pantry. I was going to do writing, 15 minutes of writing for my school, and Mom was going to open a plastic wrapper around Pam, and so I was opening it, and the thing that you color with on the pencil was pointing towards my eye, and it, when I was trying to open it, it just flung out and got me.
What's the testimony part?
It almost got my eyeball, but it barely reached it.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you, Lord.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I'm just going to make sure everyone understands what he said. I had showed him how to, we had like plastic wrapped spray cans of oil, two of them together. And I had showed him how when you can't open it, you could take a pencil and puncture a hole in it, in that plastic, and then you can open it. And when I turned my back, he had kept playing with it just to poke it for fun, but instead of poking it down into the plastic, he was pulling it toward himself. And when that plastic snapped, he jammed it into his face, and he was covering his face and just screaming. And I just kept, thank you, Lord, it is not his eyeball. Thank you, Lord, it's not his eyeball. And when I could finally pry his hand off his face, it was like right, it had gone into his skin pretty good, like right in his eyelid, right near the corner of his eye. And maybe you guys can see, it was just yesterday. Close your eyes so everyone can see. That red spot right there, it's where it got him. So praise God, it did not go into his eyeball. So thank you, Lord. It was close. It's the same spot where he had a pretty good gash right in front of his eyebrow, just like a half an inch from there when he was a 1-year-old. He fell off a porch and landed on some stick, I think, cut him open, but it had cut like three layers into the skin, and it was nasty and it was bleeding. And of course, a 1-year-old is always trying to like touch their face and stuff. And I had prayed over him, Lord, just heal, close up that wound. And that's exactly what the Lord did. It probably could have used stitches, but the Lord closed it up. He didn't get any blood on his sheets when he went to bed. He didn't reopen it himself. It was just really miraculous. And of course, when he fell off that porch,
I think he opened it.
I know it was a miracle because babies like to do that. But it was a miracle because he could have hit a piece of rebar that was down there and taken out his eye then and this time too. So praise the Lord for keeping his eyes.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Okay, anyone else? Thank you, Lord, for your protection upon all of our children in every day-to-day things that they do, that no part of them gets hurt. In Jesus' name, amen. Yep, and us too. Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else got a prayer request or would like to share something? Yeah, Denny, Debbie. Sorry to call you Denny.
Oh, he's not here right now.
Okay.
later. But I wanted to ask someone from German or someone to pray for Victory. I think I mentioned about how that she got this car accident. Did I share it to everybody on Signal? She's in a car accident. She got hit on the driver's side that T-boned her. And anyway, she found out she couldn't get hold of police. When she called police, they told her they don't come to you anymore in Chicago because there's too much other stuff they got to deal with. So she had to call another number, a non-emergency number, and they talked to her. Anyway, she explained everything, and she found out. She realized though that she was almost to turn on her one way, and she was trying to change it when that car hit her on the in the driver's side. And Jonah was sitting right there, but he wasn't hurt at all. But so she had to take care of all that stuff by phone. She got a picture of the license plates of his car and his name and everything in her car and everything. And she's found out just recently that they're faulting her because she was turning on a one-way street. So she just went through, not too long ago, years of going to court every day, having to walk because no car. When this thing, stuff happened to her, being accused of child neglect or abuse, or whatever that was, and that finally stopped, and yet she still got the record of that. But anyway, she was finally declared not guilty. And so I just like so hurt, thinking, oh God, today I was just cried out and saying, God, just stop this. You are a miracle working God. You can do anything to not let this continue. Just stop it and have mercy on her and let her not have to go through something like this again. So whatever he wants to do, that he would just do it. So I ask you to do that, Lord. Have mercy on Victory, Lord, and just not let this be a big thing where she's got to go to court all the time, Lord. Maybe it's something on their part that they're not going to want to continue it, Lord, because of whatever might have been else been wrong with him, the driver that hit her. I don't know, Lord, what could take place, but you can do anything, Lord. So I ask you just to cause this to stop and then not even come to pass. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Go ahead, Julie.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. In the name of Jesus, we just command a conviction of heart on the other person that was in the accident with Victory. Lord, if he is guilty of lying, of being distracted with his phone and running into her because he didn't see her, whatever deception's going on there, Lord, if he was at fault, that you would bring a Holy Spirit conviction on him, or that there would be evidence, that there would be witnesses that would step forward. Anyhow, we just thank you, Lord, for bringing this to an end quickly in Jesus' name. And we bind up all the stress, the fear, the anxiety, the worry, all the attacks of the enemy on Victory in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for providing for her. Obviously, she's going to need transportation. She needs her car to be fixed, restored, or replaced. So we want your very best for her. So we're asking God for you to do more, and we can ask for thanks. She needs a new vehicle. And I just pray for all of this, Lord, to come about, Lord, in a supernatural way, that you get all the glory. We just pray blessings on Victory and her family, Lord, that she's not the tail, she's the head. And that you would give her the faith to believe you're going to do something great, that she calls upon your name herself and asks you to vindicate her because she's been wrongfully done to. Lord, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. We praise you, God. Thank you, Lord, that there are witnesses and somebody's going to come forth and expose all this. And we thank you, Lord, for bringing this to a quick end. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Now, Victory is a Christian, isn't she? I think you told us that she was. Yeah. Okay. Well, Lord, she's one of yours. I ask that you solve this for them right quick, real quick, Lord, that she doesn't have to wait on anything, that this is going to go right through. I don't know what's wrong with the Chicago, but she needs to get out of there. Lord, we just ask and we pray that you place it in her and her family to get out of that city and come to sane places down south. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to
Amen.
God.
Amen. You know, she doesn't live in Chicago. She had to drive all the way into Chicago for this appointment for Jonah. And she was 2 blocks away, actually talking to the receptionist there about a direction for some reason. And the lady was on the line when they hit her. So she may be a witness for some reason. I don't know, but somehow. But anyway,
The
so she.
police don't come and do a
They
accident
don't show up
report.
now. Nope, they don't do that now because there's too much other crimes they got to deal with. She had to deal with it herself, get phone calls and return everything in to wherever she turned that stuff into, pictures, and she found
Well,
out.
it was her word against the other guy's word, and that's it.
I don't know, I guess. I don't know what
Well,
he
is
probably
she?
had to do something too, if the same like she had to do, but she took the pictures of his car. And maybe he did the same. She didn't tell me. I don't know. I just know
Yeah.
what she had to do. I just know what she said. So,
Oh, Lord, we just thank you for straightening this out for Victory.
yeah.
And if it was not her fault, we ask, Father, that you show favor to her and get whatever she needs to get her car fixed. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We believe it, Lord. Everybody here believes it.
We do.
Thank you,
Thank you,
Jesus.
Father. Thank you,
Amen.
Lord.
Praise be to God.
Son. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anyone else? Who is that? Elisha. All right. Anybody else got something they'd like to share? Okay, Debbie Finsky had a word from the Lord. She asked for a word from the Lord. And I'd like to share that with you all. And then we'll pray a little bit afterwards. Okay, let's see. Well, she put it on a blog. So I went to the blog and got it. And she entitled it Hidden with Christ in God 2:24-26. She said, I first need to share why God spoke this word to me, my confession. I was wanting so much to just get before the Lord to receive a leading from Him as to where to go in the word or whatever He wanted to speak to me. And that is what I told Him in prayer. Well, it didn't take long for a thought to come to me, a stupid recipe that all of a sudden I wondered if it was still where I had saved it in my phone. I thought, well, I'll just look that up before I forget. You already know where this is going. So I went and looked and found the recipe, and I decided to look for other versions of it. After 15 or 20 minutes, maybe it was more, I finally, in anger at myself, asked myself what in the world I was doing, or rather not doing. Conviction hit me as it should. I got up and walked around in my trailer, repenting in tears before Jesus. I was truly crying before Him, so sick of myself. And this is partly what I prayed to Him as I was so sorry and repentant before him. I told Jesus, Lord, I just really want time with you, for you to be the pleasure that I seek. I don't want to be a fakey kind of time spent with you just out of troubles and catastrophes. I just want you. I do so long for the pleasures of this time with you, because you are worthy and I need you. And I do want this time daily. I want to truly hear from you. I am so tired of that which I wish not to do that I do. Forgive me and please help me, Lord. Well, I sat back down humbly before the Lord, just waiting on him. And this is what he started speaking to me. Now, this is the Lord speaking. You are not alone, my daughter. This is the problem that my children have. That is, most are not thinking about time, quality time, spent with me. There are those who have, out of total surrender, have given their thoughts and desires over to me and seek me first before all else. They think always of me, and they spend time with me. They have found the hidden place, that place where they are hidden with Christ in God. And this is what must be your first and foremost thought and desire: your life hidden with me in the Father. My children, I am not a God that wants to take all good things away, good things I have given to you in the first place. Am I not your God who delights in giving you the desires of your heart? Yes, I am. But, my children, I am always thinking about your eternity and how you jeopardize it with much fleshly desires that come before me, making little room for me, little room for communion, little room for close fellowship and a true love walk with me. For I have said, seek me first, and all these things shall be added unto you. For I am your God, full of love for you, and I see the good things that you love, your families, and the people that you love, the talents I have given to you, that you love to use to glorify me. I see all these good things and so much more, but I separate the good from the bad. Good is no longer good when it comes before me. I'm going to preach that again. Good is no longer good when it comes before me. And as you learn to be hidden with me in the Father, and I and the Father are one, you will only receive the good that I allow to be in your life. Because you are hidden in me, you will not ever question the things and the people that are no longer good for you, no matter who they are. For you will love the good, and you will hate the evil. My children, you are already there. You are one with me in the Father. But the real beauty, the real victory, and being the overcoming sons of God, which I have called you to be, and what I am making you into through obedience and sacrificial love for me, is what you will experience and come into staying in that place and overcoming, hidden with Christ in God. Come there now. Hide in me. All other hiding places are only darkness and brief pleasure. This is not new to you, my children. It is not new knowledge to you to seek first the kingdom of heaven, and all these other things shall be added unto you. So seek me now. Know who you are in me. Love so much that I am in you and you are in me. Embrace it. Cherish it. Nurture that. Seek me now. Spend that special time with me in that hidden place. Continue in it, and so shall we always be one. And then she quotes Colossians 3:3, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. John 14:7, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Romans 7:15, for I do not understand what I am doing, for I am not practicing what I want to do, but I am practicing the very things I hate. Amos 5:15, hate evil and love the good. And that is it. I'm going to see if I can put that in there. Okay, has anybody got any comments? That was a good one, Debbie. Very good and very on time. Amen. Glory be to God. No comments? Yeah, Julie, go ahead.
Well, I was, you know, I shared with Debbie, you know, I'm just one-on-one. I just shared with her. It's like, that was me. And even before she posted that, I was already talking to the Lord about being distracted this morning about things, and that I repented of all that. And it's like, why do I still do it? You know, like I start to do exactly what Debbie was doing, and something else came into my mind, and I just stopped what I was doing with the Lord. Went to go look at something else, and all of us, the flesh and its worldly distractions, and you know, so I repented before the Lord about that, and I like Debbie was kind of, you know, weeping over it, and I was like, why do I still do that? And I know the Lord has been patient, so long suffering and patient with us. And I know one of the scriptures that came to my mind is that, you know, the spirit is willing and the flesh is weak. And the Lord, you know, told Peter, and, you know, when he was in Gethsemane, you know, it's like, pray that you not, you know, fall into temptation, you know, and we need to pray that. I need to pray that. You know, anyhow, the Lord just, you know, told me, he later, you know, is just saying, it's like, I see you overcoming. I see everything being restored to you. Hold on to that. And I just pray that for all of us, that we will all see that by faith, that it's all being restored to us. Everything where, you know, I don't know, 10 years ago, I wasn't distracted like this. You know, even eight years ago, I wasn't distracted like this, like it's been now. And I think part of it is just the stuff, the time we're in with all the stuff going around in the world, and I'm not making any excuses, but it is, you know, that's part of it. There is a lot of distractions there. And I also believe what I sense too is there's been a lot of witchcraft sent against us to distract us. And, but we need to be, diligent, and we need to be, discerning of our thoughts, and recognize the enemy, and recognize what's our flesh, and why are we running after the worldly things, that it can wait, right? If it's really of God, it can wait. If, you know, if it's something we should, it's important that we need to do it, whatever, it'll still be there when we get, you know, our time with the Lord. And so I was thanking God for his patience and long suffering with me, and that he has been that. And thank you, Lord, for restoring everything that the enemy has stolen from us, and that you are our first love, that you are most important, and nothing can compare. There is still nothing of this world, or nothing so important that it cannot wait before you, and that you should always come first and foremost. And so thank you, Lord, for helping us all overcome this flesh and the worldly desires and the draw of the world from you, that we are drawn to you, and that nothing else matters. Thank you, Lord, for your love and your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit in us. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. And the flesh, you know, that old man, we have to put our faith in the baptism, you know, that we had, and that we're dead. And the flesh has no power over us. The devil has no power or authority over us. So we have to just be, I guess, just really discerning and fight and do the warfare. Thank you, Lord. Keeping us, drawing
Amen.
us. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Yes, Lord, I ask and I pray for your overcoming power of the Holy Spirit in us to remind us to just you're first. You are first in this world that we live in. And I praise you and I thank you for that. That even if a recipe comes up in our mind, we ain't looking at it. We're looking, the recipe is you in us. And I praise you, Father, that we remind, that you reminded us. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for correcting our lifestyle to be walking like you, talking like you, acting like you. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, go ahead, Anna.
I just want to confess that I have also been definitely guilty of that, allowing distractions. And another thing too is when I have something I need to do, sometimes I just, take all that time that I need to do it instead of remembering that I can ask the Lord to just show me the easy route. Like for example, we're going to be getting a new laptop because this one I'm using right here is getting really old and slow. And so Matthew's like, "Oh, do your research." And so I like go down the rabbit trail of research and I just got overwhelmed and I was like, I don't know any of this technical stuff I'm looking at. And then I remembered, oh wow, Lord, I don't need to do all this research. You can just pare it down for me. You can tell me, what kind of laptop I need to get. I don't need to know all this stuff. I don't need to learn what Intel Core 7 means. I don't know what that means. I don't need to search it. Like and the Lord just took all that burden off me, but I've been guilty and I started out like that. I started out just like, okay, I'm gonna just do this and just other things too. And so Lord, I just repent of that and I just thank you, Lord, for delivering us. But Lord, I want to pray too, Lord, that you make us quick to discern the thoughts and intents of the enemy, the thoughts and intents of our heart. Lord, I remember a revelation where Satan was, someone saw Satan around a table with all his demons, and he was saying that the biggest weapon they would have against the Christians was to distract them. And Lord, I pray that we would discern that and be wise and quick, that we would be constantly on our toes, and that you would help us, Lord, to pare down these things. It doesn't matter, Lord. You can show us such a simple thing, Lord. We don't need to go digging through all types of anything, Lord. You can just direct our every step, Lord. And it's so awesome when you do. And I just thank you, Lord, for doing that for us, each and every one of us, Lord, as we look to you, Lord, that you just give us the answers and you make our time, just expand our time, Lord, expand our time. And more than that, Lord, help us to be fruitful with it, Lord. We want to be fruitful with it. We want to bear fruit. We want to draw close to you. And I just thank you, Lord, for the grace to do that, Lord. We pray for a great outpouring of grace to do that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Yes, Lord, I receive that also in Jesus' name. Nothing else matters but you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Debbie.
Well, I just wanted to say that when I was getting that and writing it down, I just sensed. I often just feel, I can feel when he's we want to press something, really express something and how important something is. This is important, and I say it's not important, but I've sensed like a few minutes ago I had the words I wanted to say. Now it's gone. He's been really a real affirmative. Like I know when he wanted me to use exclamation points, but he was just so gentle. I felt such a gentleness through this whole thing. And did it come off that way to you as you reading it, Michael? And as you guys were hearing it, he was just so gentle and gracious as I was receiving it. I just felt this, just such graciousness.
Power
Oh my, Bluetooth. Such a graciousness. I just thank the Lord for that. His mercy is in even just giving that forth. What he gave it was such mercy. And I just thank him for that. Praise the Lord.
on. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, he's got a lot of grace for us.
Yeah.
Praise God for that too. Thank you, Jesus. Nice hearts flying around here. Glory to God, that's cool.
I gotta find out how you do that.
Oh, that's not hard. All right, anyone else? What about you, Missy? You got anything you want to add?
Well, just like everybody else, I have my moments where I struggle with that. And I've found that if I put something aside, and it may be something that like something that's been on my mind, but it's a distraction, and I know it's something that the Lord wants me to put aside and just leave it be, you know. And then and then I've found that if I'm just patient, the Lord will like, for instance, if there's something on my heart to buy, it can be like Anna was talking about, it can be a distraction. You spend a lot of time on it, and you know, it's like I felt like the Lord, you know, says it's not that I don't want you to have it. It's that you put me first and be patient, you know. And I've seen how he's done that, you know. Like all of a sudden, a couple of weeks after something, I just let something go and let him just wait on the Lord. Something will pop up, and that I was not expecting, and I'm like, "What is that, you? Or is that just the Satan trying to tempt me?" You know what I mean? But it's pretty cool when I've learned to be patient, just leave it be, and then he'll just like pop it up, you know, later, you know. And so yeah, it's and yeah, just learning just to walk away from it and just say no. And so thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. Thank you, Lord, that you help us to overcome in degrees, Lord. Oh, sometimes, Lord, we would just love to just, okay, all of a sudden, okay, it's done with, you know, and not have to go through the same thing over and over and over, but overcome. It's like overcoming by degrees almost everything for me, you know, it seems like. And I think that's probably for a lot of us about things, you know. It's like, so Lord, I believe by faith, and I believe for all of us, Lord, that that we have overcome these temptations and these trials, and we just I just keep confessing that I've ever overcome. I'm an overcomer, Lord. And overcome the distractions, and Father, I just thank you, Lord, for the grace that when I don't feel good, that is the biggest time that the enemy would attack me, and it's the time that's easiest to feed my flesh for something, you know, because. And it's like, no. If I have a hard time sitting down and reading or praying or reading especially, and I'm going through this trial or I don't feel good, Lord, help me to just overcome and just put on a Bible study and listen to it. Even if I can't even listen to it intently, Lord. You know, at least there's something. You know, being good put into my mind. And I thank you, Lord, for doing that for all of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. All right. Anybody else? Andrew and Ben, y'all got anything, comments you'd like to make? Okay. Anyone else? Okay, I got a song that I'd like to sing. I'll let it out. All right, let's see here. Not that funny. All right, let's see how I can do this. Well, wait a minute. Let me see if I even got it up. Nope. Well, Julie, can you get that up? I'm having trouble finding it. Okay. Well, something after I read that word that Debbie had, like everybody else, I had to repent because, you sit down and you want to get with the Lord, and then all of a sudden, well, you got to go get some eggs. You got to go get some bread. You got to go get this. You got to go get that. Da 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 da. What rather than no, you got to seek the Lord. And I think it's, well, I know it is. It's our flesh wanting to get us out of that. And we have to overcome that flesh in order to, allow the Lord to work in us. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, this is a good song. You ready? Go ahead.
Like you're not in this room. Wanna look right at you. Wanna sing right to you. Yeah. I don't wanna talk about you. Like you're not in this room. Wanna look right at you. I wanna sing right to you. I don't wanna talk about you like you're not in this room. I wanna look right at you. I wanna sing right to you. For I believe you are listening. You're moved at the sound of my voice. I believe you are listening. And I believe you're moved at the sound of my voice. Give me dove's eyes. Give me undistracted devotion for only. Devotion for only you. 'Cause I don't wanna talk
you're not in this room. I want to look right at you. I want to sing right to you. I don't want to talk about you like you're not in this room. I want to look right at you. I want to sing right to you. I want to look right at you. I want to sing right to you. I want to look right at you. I want to sing right to you. I want to look right at you. I want to sing right to you. I want to look right at you. I want to sing right to you. Sing right to you, Jesus. You're the apple of mine. You're my heart's desire. I long for your presence. I long for your face. I want to gaze at your beauty. I want to gaze at your beauty. I want to gaze at your beauty, Jesus. Like you're not in this room. I wanna look right at you. I wanna sing right to you. I don't wanna talk about you. Like you're not in this room. I wanna look right at you. I wanna sing right to you.
Oh, that was Eddie James. I didn't realize that was him. That's a good song. Very appropriate. All right. Has anybody here got something they'd like to share? Yeah, go ahead, Ben.
Hey y'all, this conversation, it always reminds me of that Psalm 51. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and the sinners shall be converted unto thee. I don't know. It's just I've always liked that because we all get distracted. So that's something that I always usually turn to or confess when I've repented of something. And it's just even just create in me a clean heart. You know, I know that we go through stuff and we go through all these things because He wants to teach us and He wants us to overcome these things so that we can become more like the image of Christ. And that's just more of an encouragement. But to say those words, create in me a clean heart, we know how powerful our words can be. And those are words that he gives us in his word. And it's just, I don't know, it's something encouraging to think about. You know, we really see how weak we are in our flesh, that it's only by his grace and by his spirit that we can overcome something like that. Because I think most of our problems is stuff that's on the screen. I don't know about you, but it's usually Facebook or YouTube and something like that. And, you know, it takes a miracle to get over YouTube. It's funny to say that, but it's a miracle for everything. And create in me a clean heart. We've got to be washed. Our soul needs to be washed of it. And it's just encouraging to say those words whenever we need it. Praise God.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Hey, Samuel, good to have you, brother. Go ahead, Andrew.
Go ahead. Hey, hi, everybody.
I do.
Can you think of an example in the New Testament where even the apostles may have been distracted? And then they overcame their distraction. You know, even some of the high names that were there, you know, there was one guy who was sick, you know, and he was sick to the point of death. He had a real bad sickness on him, and he was to go to another city, but he was sick there with Paul, and Paul was kind of, oh well, here we go again, you know, and sorrow after sorrow, you know. And so Paul got healed of his sorrow, and this guy got healed because everyone knew he was sick, and it was a pretty bad sickness. I don't know what he had, but you know, he was healed. So Paul knew, hey, my sorrows ended too, some of it, because Paul always had a lot of sorrow, you know, and he had some fear for the church. You know, Paul and Timothy, they both had fear in church for the people in the church. But, you know, there's an example of it in 2 Corinthians 11 and 3, you know. So he feared that the devil's going to goof up you guys, you know. And so, you know, and he had some of this sorrow for this guy. And then once word got out that he really wants to go visit these people in this other city, I forget the particulars. He has a real long name, so Aristarchus, something like that, anyway. And he got healed, and I'm sure the people in the city that he was supposed to visit prayed for him too, so that they longed for seeing this guy. And also there was the time where Paul is talking in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 about the grace, from 6 and 1 to 7 and 4. And then 7 and 4, it mentions another time there where, I'm just saying that we're in good company when we get these distractions, as long as they don't corrupt you, okay? So he's saying here, after he gives a wonderful discourse to the Corinthians again about the grace of God in chapter 6, he says, "For even when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no relief, and we were afflicted on every side, fightings without, fears within. But God, who comforteth the lowly, comforted us with the presence of Titus, and not with his presence only, but also with the comfort wherewith he was comforted in you, telling us your longing, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoice yet more, because though I made you sorry with the letter, I do not regret, though I did regret, I see that the letter made you sorry, though but for a time or an hour. I now rejoice not that you were made sorry, but that ye were made sorry unto repentance, for ye were made sorry according to God. Anyway, so it seems that even there was this sorrow amongst the Corinthians, which could have been like a distraction, I guess, but they came through it. So with all things, God is with us. And just like it says in the Colossians 3:3, which I think is the real Emmanuel now. And where we're at, he's trying to increase us from there to mature us in the fruit. And we're always to draw close to him, set up time periods for him. Like for me, it's because I'm retired now. I wake up and immediately after I make some breakfast, as I go to, I praise him in the morning. I pray I get ready for the day, and then I have a breakfast, and then I start right into the Bible study. And, you know, I just can study sometimes long, and sometimes it's not as long. And he's given me a better pattern of study now, where I'm reading this portion of scripture from 2 Corinthians 5:16 to 4:7. Because it's just so miraculous. You know, I was just saying to Ben earlier today, when you go to Galatians chapter 5, you've got the fruit of the Spirit. And it's got a list of all the 9 fruits of the Spirit. There's also a list of the bad spirit, the list of the flesh spirit. And I said, you know, you want a list of his grace? All the different graces and how they work. And it's right in here, you know, because he's addressing in the first verse again that we're working together with the Christ in you, the hope of glory, which is the with. And every time I see this word with or in, you know, it's a grace, and grace is with it. And it by grace have you been saved. So there's a lot of different graces here. And there's a list of them. I counted them, and you know, but you can always find the in and we and through, and other times where he says, I will hearken to thee, I will secure thee. And it even goes up into the point where he is witnessing to these Corinthians about who they are. He's mentioning their reconciliation. And of course, the whole items of the Bible where it's supposed to be for you, a behavior of Jesus, that the grace is infinite, you know. But you know, I just find that some of these are crosses for grace, a grace that offers a cross to you. And I came along one time in a study where it says you're a gazing stock. I never knew what that meant. I looked it up once, and I did make a note on it on one of the back of the sheets here. And it's a cross you go through, and it's something where you're being troubled in these items that as an early Christian you go through, because it speaks at that particular time, I think, about you haven't resisted unto blood yet. So I don't think we know of some people who are in the corporate body who have resisted to blood, and they were martyred, but we see examples of it also in the scriptures, I think that sometimes we might get to be a little tired. I need prayer for not to get so tired as I sometimes am. Just to be strengthened, Lord, strengthen me, Lord. And I be not tired of things that are happening. That I know that you handle all things for people's good. And I'm sure people have made requests repetitively here to you, Lord. And I know you heard us the first time. And one of the graces you have is much patience, in much patience and in tribulations. And of course, that is Romans 5:3. Of course, it's written in two places, and you should know now, and out of the mouth of two witnesses that your word be established. But Lord, be patient with us in our always asking of you. You told us to ask of you, but I don't think you'll like us to repeat things too many times, seeing as you heard us the first time. Anyways, Lord, we do struggle on some things, and we need your help. We need you to lead, guide, and keep us in your name, in your word, in your spirit, in your blood, in the blood of Jesus, of course. And I ask that in Jesus' name for me and for my brethren. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for taking all distractions out of us, all of them. Just like Andrew was talking about, we ought to have the first thing we do in the mornings is get up and seek you. And I praise you, Father. Let that be for each and every one of us that can do that first thing in the morning. Sometimes, Lord, it might even take our sleep away. But how many times we sat up watching YouTube? And Lord, I thank you for giving it, placing it in our hearts to seek you, because that place with you, Lord, is so much more satisfying, so much more joy and love that comes from you when we do spend that time with you, Father. And I praise you and I thank you for helping us to overcome that flesh that wants to look at everything but you. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Glory be to God. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Andrew, go ahead, brother.
You know, those young people and people in song, there was one young African-American woman, she started singing a song, "Everywhere I Go, Everywhere I Be, Jesus Is Mine." And it really is that way, so... sometimes when we're a little bit messed up, he'll be there for us when we need him. So you know, you think about some of these words where God the Father, you know, is supposed to dwell in you and walk, because you know ye not that ye are a sanctuary of God, and God saith that. So when he says something, you know, it's really true. And you go, oh, man, you know, like, what's he really thinking about? You know, this is just me, you know, what's he really thinking about me, you know? And you get a little nervous. And you also say, oh, Lord, restore in me like my youthfulness that I had when I first came to the Lord, or when I was in that high place, you know, and that it was a desire, very much so, as it always should be, to see the Lord, to see the Lord's presence working in us, and to review things, and to you know, it's just to spend time with Him, even in a nap or closing your eyes and focusing in on Him and saying, you know, Lord, you showed me this here in the scriptures and that there, you know, and you showed me something not too long ago. And I try to remember all these things, but I know the Holy Spirit's supposed to remind me of them all. And you know, you'd be listening to some person and something will just come popping into your head and you go, well, Lord, I'm going to depend upon you for all things, that you're going to tell me what I'm supposed to say today, or what am I supposed to do today? And what are we supposed to do as God's children and God's servants? What's your talent? Have you produced 100% of it yet? You know, I sure hope you're at the right hand, because you want to be a sheep. You don't want to be a goat. And, you know, some of these verses, you know, these warnings and all these parables in chapter 25 and 24 of Matthew and 13, are they going to forget them when it comes to Revelation 13? When they blaspheme God and blaspheme His name and His tabernacle and them that dwell therein, you know? And of course, you know, you got to remember that you're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And of course, He's going to remind you of that too. So, and He's going to hearken unto you when He has to hearken unto you. And He's going to save you when He has to save you. And if He doesn't save you, then, you know, one of the graces is chastened but not killed. So we don't like to be chastened. No, I don't think so. You know, like when I was a kid, I remember when I was just a child, I remember my father chastening me. And it was never nice to have, but when you have a Father who's the Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth, of things seen and unseen, and He knows everything that's going on inside of you because He's dwelling in there and walking, so you can't hide anything from Him or from Jesus, and you're in His name, and you want to be in His name, you want to continue in His name, because you don't want the other name that's mentioned in Revelation 13. You don't want that sign either, or that image, or that that mark, you know. And, you know, you sometimes wonder and go, well, Lord, be merciful, you know, to these people. Send your revival. Restore the ministry of the man child, restore the bride, mature them, and the witnesses, you know, and the apostles, prophets, teachers, preachers, and evangelists, you know. And it makes you think, you know, that some of those people say, well, you know, there aren't no more apostles, you know. Yeah, but the word says you're supposed to have them, you know, apostles, prophets, teachers, preachers, evangelists, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, you know. And, you know, there's an evangelist there somewhere and a teacher, so you better watch what you say, you know, because if you ain't going to have any more apostles, and the word says there's going to be one, so who is this apostle today? And we know that an apostle has to actually grow up to be an apostle. And of course, he's going to pick the guy with a lot of talent that produces a lot of talent and gets even what the other guy got wrong, right? You know, the guy who had one talent, he gets his talent. God told the guy who had one talent, he should get some interest even. You know, it's not a bank account, but kind of works in a parallel with a bank account, but my bank account doesn't produce 100%. If it did, life would be, let's just say you'd be dependent upon a bank account and you'd be in the third land, not in the fourth land. So, you know, and you know, these people who are like in Matthew 22, you know, there's the parable of a great king who wants to throw for his son a wedding feast, and he calls those bidden, you know, and I go, oh Lord, I know the people in the second land were called, you know, called those called, or called those bidden, and you know, if you got if you have a piece of land and you want to go look at it, then you might have to sell it like they did in Acts chapter whatever when they sold their extra pieces of land. So anyway, it's just so remarkable on how you can collate some of these parables together, you know, and you see the distresses that are there, you know, you see the parable of the weeds, you know, and who's putting these weeds in the good field, you know, and you gotta bind them, you know, you gotta bind the weeds and before they take root, you know, and because that's what's gonna happen. He's gonna bind them in bundles, and that's Matthew 18:18. So there's quite a bit of collation you have to do with even just singular words, you know, words that are visual are supposed to reflect on faith, like when he says gazing or watching or seeing. So we're looking to the faith here, and you know, if you read the 11th chapter, don't forget to read the first verse in chapter 12 of Hebrews 2, okay? Because 12 and 1 is are important. The last verse of the faith chapter is important because it mentions us there, that we have a better covenant than those people who went through all those things. And of course, there's the first verse of 12 and 1 where you let brotherly love continue. So, you know, I don't know. Sometimes people want to think of, I sure hope I'm loving the Lord enough so that I don't get kicked out of the house. You don't want to get, you clean your room, Andrew. Okay. And you want to love your brethren because it's, when Jesus refers to himself as a corporate body, as he did when he met Paul in Acts chapter 9. Yes, we have fellowship to show each other how we clean each other's rooms. You want some good ideas? You know, I got some ideas on how you can clean your room. And discipline is a real good one, you know, and you can listen to some of these things that Jesus came in touch with when he saw the Roman centurion. He was a very disciplined guy, a military type. And I was told that some of those military people make really good Christians because their discipline turns to discipleship. And you know that some of these people who've been through a lot of negative stuff are so happy to hear of the grace of God, You know, it's their affection now to want to know more about this grace and have the grace function in them and work in them. And it's kind of scary to the point where you feel like a child. And sometimes it's a wonderful comfort just to get comforted by God through these things too. So I just radiate that you find those areas of the Bible you really want to learn from stuff, you know, and the Lord will show you other things, even on singular words, you know. The world doesn't know peace. How come it doesn't know peace? In chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, it's just one word, peace, you know. The world has three main nations there now that seem to be, and it's pretty strong, and you know, and the other nations don't seem to be that strong anymore, but these three main ones, and there's a reference there in a certain verse about those. If you do a study on Babylon, you'll see some of those references just in the New Testament. When you find that particular verse, it might open your eyes to some things. And it hasn't happened yet, but you know that it's going to happen. And if you know that something's going to happen, you're going to see pieces of it already, you know. And you know, we've seen some pieces of iron and clay mixing, actually physically. And we know that things are happening the way they're supposed to. And we have to focus on the Lord. Because we really should have the kingdom as first. Because it's a corporate body. And Jesus referred to himself when he spoke to Paul the first time as a corporate body with his people. And and it's repeated in 4 and 4 of Ephesians, one body. So we and the other six ones after that. So there shouldn't be any division. There shouldn't be any sectarianism. After all, no one saved you and no one called you but God and his son, Jesus Christ, the two saviors, as it's sometimes referred to in some of the scriptures. So, you know, that's a meditation out loud, you know, and the Lord has to help you with those types of meditations, you know. And when you have lots of time, or you're going for a walk, think about, since you've been watching some YouTube, you know what's going on, and it's nothing that you're not supposed to not be shocked about, even though some of the things, when it gets into a little more detail, does shock us. Because you don't really expect people to go that far to the left, you know. So, anyways, I hope this helps people to just to meditate on the Lord and ask the Lord to make it enjoyable, joyous for you, because the joy of the Lord is my strength. If you apply that to the corporate body, you have to rejoice in what the Lord tells you, even if it's a warning or a building up or a consoling you. And that's prophecy. Paul's prophecy will do the same, but in a wrong way. So you don't want that. Anyway, it's like there's only two men on this world, but then there's two sets of prophecies too, isn't there? one from the good guys and one from the bad guys. And it's not a nation, but it's the kingdom that's first. I mean, we're even told that in the Old Testament, that's something they had to learn of their people who were covenant people, and they were supposed to be one body, one covenant together. Anyway, praise and glory to God.
Amen. All right, anyone else? Let me borrow that a minute. That back scratcher. All right, Joe, go ahead, buddy.
I just want to ask, first of all, for your wisdom people's opinion on this verse I just posed. What does it mean to you? I know there's a lot of detail on that, but this is.
Was there a question there?
Yeah, he posted a scripture in the chat and wanted people's thoughts on that.
What was your question? The thoughts on that particular verse?
Yes. Yes, Michael.
Okay. Has anybody got something? It's pretty straightforward.
Can I read the verse? Or do you want to read the verse? Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Joe posted the scripture, Mark 12:30. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength.
I think this one will go along with it. I was fixing to bring this out anyway. You have to think about it, though, when I give it out. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And then Colossians 1:27, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Goes along with that one, if you just think about it. Because who regulates our life? God is supposed to be doing that. That verse of Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. That's the foundation of who we are. So this thing, verse here, Mark 12:30, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. You can do that with Christ in you, because all you do is just Christ in you. The more Christ that you have in you, the more that thing there, that verse there is fulfilled. Go ahead, Julie. Or Andrew, whoever was first.
I just put my hand down. Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Well, I just had a verse pop into my head. It says in 1 John chapter 4 somewhere, I think. And it says there that we know and believe the love that God hath in us. God is love. He that abideth in love abideth in God, and God abides in him. And it sounds like a lot like the verse where Jesus comes and knocks on the door and you let him in and he sups with you and you with him. And that's the focus you want, you know, with the Lord. Because he's giving you these loves, because, you know, the verse continues and says, and the second is like it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right. Do this, and thou shalt live. I don't know if it's in that particular area of Mark, but, you know, if you have to do this, and thou shalt live. For living is the word of God, and active. And in him we live, move, and have our being. And the most quoted living verse, the righteous, we know we've been given righteousness because of what Jesus was, the sinless one, and God took him and made him to be sin on our behalf, that we might be made the righteousness of God. That's a big thing, you know. And then he tells later on to you that he's going to show you what this life is all about, that he's going to say that that you are the sanctuary of God. And as God saith that, and he says also that I will dwell in them and walk and be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore come. And this revelation is given to you when it says to come out from among them and to touch no unclean thing, and he will receive you. So, you know, all these things are a revelation from God for you to have. And you can review them and just acknowledge that it's the Lord who gave it to you in the first place. You know, the Lord speaks to us even when we have something else going on in our heads. And just like you can do, I was told you can do something else while you're speaking in tongues, but the Lord can speak to you while something else is going on in your head too. Or else, if that wasn't so, then you'd never overcome the tempter. And you'd never come to the realization that you're spending too much time wasting time. So, and other factors are there too. That makes you think about God being sovereign over all things. So, praise and glory to God. So, I just like that love verse there. And we know and believe the love that God has in us. God is love. He that abideth in love abideth in God, and God abideth in him. So, and another, you know, is if any love me, Jesus said, you keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we will come, and that is the Emmanuel right there. We will come and make our abode with him, God with us. And that's the Colossians 3:3 that was mentioned earlier. For ye died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Because some people like to call Jesus God, but Jesus is the Son, and the Father is the Father. But you got both of them. They kind of, it's a package deal, because the Holy Spirit's packed in there too. Because we asked for tongues, and we got it. And it's in his name. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So if the Holy Spirit is sharing with the Father, because the Father is sending his Holy Spirit out of him so that he can keep track of everything spiritual, because he's got to deal with a dark side here too, and the name of the Son is there too, which gives you an authoritative position. And we rejoice that our names are written in the heavens. And those three are in the heavens too, you know, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we have a wonderful, powerful gift from God, which is all by grace. And the grace there is in the Holy Spirit too. It's listed there in 2 and 6. And in love, unfretted or unchanging. So it's there, a grace given. And it's in the armor of righteousness on the right and on the left. So it's given in the power of God, in the word of truth. Some of these lists that are in those graces, yes, it's in tribulation too, and in long suffering. So, and we know long suffering is one of the fruits, and in kindness, he's in kindness, you know, that's another fruit. And you know, if you have love, it never fails. And it's the first fruit of the Holy Spirit. And we want to have faith that worketh love. And we want to have faith that worketh kindness and self-control. Faith that worketh self-control. And we were talking about distractions. So, God is sovereign. That's good. Because you don't want anyone else to be. And you can call him Father. And hallowed be thy name. Why don't they want to hallow the name above all names? The name of the Father. It's right in the Lord's Prayer. There's a reason why they took it out of the schools. And they don't want you to pray it. Because it's a powerful prayer. Came directly out of the mouth of God, but through his Son, Jesus Christ, to teach us that prayer. And Jesus is the name called the Word of God. And the name for the Spirit of God is holy. He that calleth you is holy. And I'm sure God used his Holy Spirit there because they're kind of all attached. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, because it's name. And you get to rejoice that your name is written in the heavens. And you take the name, the image, and the mark of God. And all three of those are the sign. But you don't want to speak against it. As Simeon warned us about baby Jesus. Because he's a sign spoken against and for the rising and falling of many in Israel. But now that Israel is something different. It's the Israel of God. It's in Galatia 6:15 and 16 and in Romans chapter 11. So you've got an Israel in Rome and Israel in Galatia. Galatia is a province. I think it has all those seven cities in it. I'm not sure. Ephesus to Laodicea. I'm not sure, but praise and glory to God.
Amen. All right. Anyone else? Anyone else on that verse?
Oh, I'm just kind of spooked myself again. So, you know, it's Quaker time, you know.
Okay.
I can barely hear you, Michael.
I'm not saying anything.
When you were saying something.
Yeah, I was. All right, anyone else? Go ahead, Julie.
Back to that scripture that Joe shared. I think it's because God puts his love in our heart, you know, for him to be able to love him. And I guess I was thinking about, like, you know, child loves their father, and he knows his father, and it's like, you know, there's nobody greater than, you know, than daddy, you know. And as we get older, you know, we have a different awe and respect of our father and that kind of thing. And there's a different reverence of love and that kind of thing too. And so I think it's a maturing thing too, because everyone, God puts it in each and every one of us to love him and to fear him and to do it with all of our heart. And I was looking at the scriptures in 1 John chapter 4, and that's all about being perfected in love and loving God and loving everybody, of the brethren, and knowing the difference. Well, I've spent a lot of time, you know, looking in those verses about being perfected in love, and perfect love casts out fear, and he who has fear has not been perfected in love. And it's like, gosh, it's just, you know, a little, well, where am I at? You know, am I being perfected? Do I still have, you know, that wrong kind of fear in my heart towards God? Or anyhow, it's just, that's kind of how I was putting those together. It's like, you know, only God can put that in me to love him and obey him, and to, with all that I know, with all my understanding, and walking with him and learning of him, and you know, and then the holy reverent fear of God. And yet to be able to be a child and know that he loves me, and he's never going to change his mind about his love for me. Doesn't matter what I've done, my past, you know, all these things, and doesn't matter what the enemy accuses me of, or whatever. And even like our confessions earlier this evening, you know, about being distracted and stuff, God still loves me because he sees the end in view. He sees us overcoming of all the flesh and all in all of our trials, and he sees how much we really desire him and love him. He put it there, and he's the one that perfects us. Well, that's kind of what I was thinking about those verses. Amen.
You know what's interesting about the Lord is he doesn't condemn us. He doesn't condemn us. His love just flows out when we repent and come back in, you know, from doing the things that we did against him. And that's what's so awesome in this walk with the Lord. We don't have to fear the Lord in that way, that he's gonna knock us down again. You know, I tell you what, I had a fear of God that was kind of on the wrong side of fear at one time, because I felt like he was sitting up there with a ball bat just waiting on me to mess up. And of course he always did back when we first came into the kingdom. And he didn't do anything but just love on us. And I took a lot of misthinking, I should say, about who the Lord is. Listen, God's living inside of us. If he's living inside of us, all we have to do is listen. Just listen to him. Talk to us, and just know that he's always with us. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Got it right here in front of me, because I want to remember that it is Christ that lives inside of me. And when he lives inside of me, he's guiding me. All I need to do is keep my mind on him instead of on whatever else that we put our minds to during the day. And I know that we get distracted, and that's part of our growing up, is listening to him. And like Debbie was talking about, just the Lord's talking about, just come into me. Your peace and your love and your sanctuary is right here with me. That's where he is. That's where we need to be. That's what's going to get us through the trying times ahead, is God. That's who's going to get us through. It's not going to be Sister Sue or Brother Bojangles. It's going to be God that's going to get us through these things. Praise God. Yeah, Julie.
I just think that in the Lord's, you know, he's been patient, but he still wants us to know how serious the time is because it's short.
Yep.
And that's why he gives us exhortation. So we, Father, I thank you for doing that for us because time is short and we need to take heed to the time, you know, and be watchful and discerning of that always. And we all want to be counted worthy. So Lord, help us to do that, just surrender every day and total surrender. Thank you, Lord. We can do it because you see us doing it. Because you did it. You did it first and you showed us the way. You're our example of surrender, Jesus. So we thank you for helping each and every one of us to lay down our lives for you and to lay down our lives for one another and just help us to be disciplined and make our priorities correct in our heart and in our mind, Lord, that you're first. Amen.
Yeah, well, just to tell you, the love and the grace of God, if you listen to what he told Debbie, you'll understand that he's not waiting. He's not just wanting to knock you out of the kingdom right away because you messed up. Here's what Jesus said back to Debbie after she humbly repented and told him that she didn't want to do that anymore. Here's what he said. He said, "You are not alone, my daughter. This is the problem that my children have." He took all the blame off of her and put it on everybody else. That is most are not thinking about time quality spent with me. In other words, he put it all on all of us. That's something that we all have a problem with. And I'm not picking on any one certain person because I'm just as guilty as the next person. But his grace is showing us, look, there's more important things than YouTube. There's more important things than going down and getting a loaf of bread and a bag of whatever. And that most important thing is, just like we talked about, somebody said, Zanna said, instead of going to go on Amazon and look to see what kind of computer to get or whatever all the things was there that she was looking for, we should have just asked the Lord, "What is it, Lord, you want me to do today? I have a busy day, but I want to come to you and see what you can do to help me get this day through in a quick way. And I want to spend my time with you right now. So maybe you could tell me what's be the most economical way that I can do this." The next thing you know, you're going to the refrigerator and all the groceries will be in the refrigerator. Maybe. You know, after you spend time with the Lord. Well, that's true. Well, I got to go do this in order to make a little money. Well, he could put money in under your mattress, can't he? He could put it in your billfold. But what I'm saying, as you all know, is that he's not wanting to knock us out of the kingdom. We'll do that on our own if we don't do what he says in his word. His word is the ultimate message for us, and he's not going to speak against it either. But boy, it sure is a wake-up call when he comes through like this. How many times he told us this? Does anybody know? Too many. Too many times. So I think it's about time that Michael, I'm going to speak for Michael, I can't speak for y'all, needs to get back in touch with the Lord more every day. We want to be able to help all the people that he has lined up for us to help in these coming days. And in order to be ready for that, we're going to have to be knowledgeable into the things that he wants us to do. Let me ask this question. How many times has the Lord asked you to read something and you read a few pages of it or studied it, read a few pages of it, and then left it? went to something else because it was more interesting. I have. And if you haven't, God bless you. But we all gonna do better because God's in us. Christ is in us. And if Christ is in us, he's gonna help us do these things. That's the Holy Spirit's job, is to help us and lead us and guide us and teach us and show us things. I believe with all my heart, everybody in here is going to be helping right alongside all other Christians when this, all these disasters start happening. God's doing this disasters for a reason. That's to wake up the people of God that are in these apostate churches. I don't want to be amongst those. I'm going to be already be awoke and doing what he wants us to do. And I encourage everybody to, you know, just think about that. How many people can we help if we don't really know what to do after we get out there? All right, anyone else? I don't really care what President Trump says. I really want to hear what Jesus has to say, don't y'all? Yeah. I think Trump, all he's going to do is just tell the good things that he's done. I want to tell the good things that Jesus has done and going to do. What's that, Missy? Yeah, well, he's done. He's got to do it because the press ain't going to do it. Yeah. He's got to tie his own horn. He does a good job of it, too, I have to say, about every day.
Yeah, he's got a special gift in that, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does for a fact. I did want to ask Benjamin and Andrew. I don't know who won the hockey game.
I believe you won both the medals.
Oh,
and the men. So, yeah.
Well, that's good.
Well, that's something we taught you how to play, that, you know. We're still trying to figure out basketball.
Oh, my. Yeah, I told David, I said, I've got to ask Andrew and Ben who won that ball game, that hockey game.
This is the first I heard, you know, like, I didn't follow any of that.
Oh, it's all over the news here.
Oh, yeah, it's everywhere.
They're no touting it as the biggest win since 1980 when they beat the Russians.
Yep.
I just don't really care, but I just thought I'd bring it up a little bit.
Yeah. I heard that we lost, and I was like, this is all I'm going to hear about tomorrow.
Oh, my. Yeah. Oh, are they? They got the hockey, U.S. hockey team is up there with Trump at the State of the Union address. They all got invited to it. Yeah, Julie.
Apparently, they flew the whole team in on either Air Force One or Air Force Two or whatever. They flew them in on the president's, you know, the big thing. Yeah, it was a big deal.
Yeah,
I saw a clip on that. But yeah, even with the State of the Union address, when I saw that, you know, they were showing clips of it, you know, that the team is there, they're all wearing their medals and stuff.
Just for y'all's information, Andrew and Ben, there aren't very many hockey what do you call them? Places to down here down south. We just don't have that. We don't even have teams down here. Don't even know what a hockey is. I couldn't tell you what a hockey puck looks like. Oh, I know it's round and it's hard. That's about it. Lord, we just praise you and thank you for the wonderful laughing times that we have together. I don't think anybody cares about the hockey team on this fellowship. I sure don't. Maybe next year y'all will win it. There you go. No. 4 years, yeah. 4 years. You're right, Missy. It's every 4 years. See, I'd even forgotten that. I don't watch Olympics anymore. Or haven't. All right. We've got 7 minutes left. Has anybody got a... Well, no, I got more than that. I'm looking at the wrong clock. Anybody got a prayer or anything they'd like to share? Let me ask you a question. I brought this up earlier for a reason. And I guess the question is this, is what does that phrase actually mean, that verse, Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. What does that actually mean? Now, you can give all the stock answers, but I'm looking for something deeper. And we can discuss this next time we come together if you wanted to think about it for a while. There have been whole studies made on that. David's made a few. Okay. Yeah, you need an ice arena. We're not going to have any of those down here. It's going to be Hawaiian weather. I'll have to wear my Hawaiian shirts. Go ahead, Andrew.
You know, I just got one more for the love verse there. I love, even the Pharisees knew about that love. So, What about circumcision of the heart?
Yeah.
As it says in Romans chapter 2. Because if your heart's going to be circumcised, then there's going to be some obedience there. Right? And it's going to bear in the spirit. Because it has to be not... It's something that he writes upon your heart so the flesh comes off of it. And you see, that's the covenant. That's the new covenant. Because he, I will put this in your mind and in your heart. The law, he says there in chapter 8 of Hebrews, but it's the fulfillment of the law. And that's the love. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. So he's writing his love upon your heart. And he reminds us of it. You know, I'm amazed that people are not really told what the new covenant is, how it works, how it functions in us. You know, and I don't think a lot of thought's even being given to it. Because, you know, all these Christians say, oh, I'm in the new covenant now. Oh, that's the old covenant. Don't talk to me about the Old Testament. And then sometimes they even get angry with you. They mention, I don't know, Isaiah 53 or whatever. Or, well, they will get angry with that one. But, you know, they might, I could just see some of them getting not so happy for Ezekiel 34, I think it is. Where he's trampling out the water with his feet there and the pasture land there. So you better supposed to be in that clergy seat if you're in the clergy seat. You know, the pulpit, you know, you better be in that seat and put there by God. Because if you're not there by God, and that don't mean you go to a Bible school, because, you know, you have to be ordained by apostles. That's what they did. They picked all the other apostles, you know, and the deacons. So praise and glory to God. So yeah, so it's the circumcision of your heart and how that collates with a bunch of other, that circumcision of your heart collates with your reconciliation and your cross. And that yoke and your baptism. They all go, and it's the covenant, it's the new covenant. And it's these singular words collate, you know. And you should know by now that a word has a spirit attached to it. And it could be sweet or bitter. Good or evil, light or darkness. And that is Isaiah 5 and 20. But, you know, every word spoke, every word read, you know. You were taught to read something in school or told something in school that's wrong about creation. And it's prophesied by the Apostle Peter that it's the last of the days in 2 Peter chapter 3. And that happened somewhere in the 1800s. Could have happened the same time America became a nation, for all I know, 1776. You know, because it's not Charles Darwin. It's before him. He was goofed up by it. Anyway, it's weird, and you know, some. Some people are trying to speak the same thing as aliens. I don't know.
Well, if you didn't hear David's message did everybody hear David's message about the aliens? Okay, good. Good. Aliens are not aliens. They're demons. Thank you, Lord. I've known that for a long time now. I remember years ago a guy that had a father that worked at Area 51, and he finally got to go with his dad there. One thing he learned is that people could not. Around the aliens, they could not speak about Jesus at all. Couldn't speak about God at all. And they got in a fight with him one time. And all they had to do to get out the fight was speak the name of Jesus. And they'd take off running. That's a key right there. That's a key. Yeah, Andrew.
You know, some good advice is cry out to the Lord. You know, yeah. I remember someone saying that to me. Just cry out to the Lord and he'll help you. Because you don't, especially like if you're unsaved, you don't know anything. And if you cry out to the Lord, he might work on that if you're in that presence of that alien and take it away from you.
Amen. I remember I had a good friend of mine back in Arkansas that had a real fast car when he was in high school, and or right after high school, and he was a Christian, you know, Baptist type, and he was racing to get across a railroad track before the train hit the crossing. But he didn't make it. But as he saw that the train was going to hit him, he cried out, "Jesus!" Like that. The car was wadded up. It didn't look like, he said, you could have put it in the back of a pickup. He said, I got out without a scratch. He said, I don't know how it happened. His dad didn't know how it happened. But when he cried out, "Jesus," the Lord got him out of that without a scratch. That's the power of the name of Jesus. So you're right, Andrew. You get in trouble, holler for Jesus. He'll help out. Amen. Well, Lord, we just thank you for another great and wonderful night. Lord, that we all learn to seek after you with all our hearts. And not only seek after you, Lord, but to just talk with you all the time, just always be in conversation with you. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you, Father, for getting the world out of us and the flesh out of us. And just always be cognizant that you're there with us. And I praise you and thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Glory be to you. Lord, I ask that you bless everybody here with a good night's sleep or a good day's work, every which way it is. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Y'all be blessed, you hear? See y'all. Bless you.